You are listening to a special edition podcast for Marvel's Luke Cage.
Yo, Sway, man, I can't even describe it, man. The situation was crazy, bro. If I was a gorilla, I would say it was bananas, B. For real, the man just took over the whole situation, God. Listen, man, it is what it is. Can't understand a man if you ain't live what he lived. Coaches in the crib, ain't got no food up in the fridge. Plus the crime running rampant and it's screwing up the kids. Sway, man, what kind of paradise is this? I just want my 40 acres and some cash on the wrist. But these snakes is trying to gather in the pit. Where you get the cotton now, plucking ashes off the clip. Off the rip, now a challenger exists. Any bulletproof, shoot, what kind of caliber is this? Got thugs in the store with the barrel on your lips. Saying nifty out the drawer before you pound you with the grip, Lord. Who to call when no one obeys the law? And there ain't no Iron Man that can come and save us all. Power to the people and Luke Cage the cause. And the cops got it wrong, we don't think.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, after much significant delay, we're finally going to talk about Marvel's Luke Cage. Before we get into the our jungle fever, as it were, at least I have jungle fever for Michael Coulter, I am your host, Ben, a.k.a. the Marvelous Ziggy. Joining me, not on hiatus like he thought he was going to be, is my editor-in-chief, my best friend, the man who will try to survive Thanksgiving weekend with his girlfriend for the first time.
Oh, man, I feel like RDJ.
Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome.
Good to be back. I have missed this show. I really have. I was scared for a second, but I'm glad everything's running smoothly, and I'm ready to talk about some big, beefy black men here on the show. That came out wrong. Can I rephrase that? No?
You know what?
Speaking of beefy black men, Taser, welcome.
Sorry, but I got to say this. Bri is going to be having Thanksgiving with his girlfriend for the first time, but that turkey's not going to be the only thing getting stuffed that night. That's all I wanted to say. That's right. I'm here all night, folks.
Damn.
I'm sorry, Sarah. It's Sarah, right?
It's Sarah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Well, ladies and...
She does not listen.
I don't think Sarah... Does she listen? Does she listen? Okay.
The same way that I have the inferiority complex about my name being spelled with an I.
Okay.
She spells her name with an H at the end, and if you don't, she gets very
S-A-R-A-H.
Oh, that's... Oh, okay, so she's not say S-A-R-A. She's S-A-R-A-H.
Oh, yeah. Okay. They're going to get biblical, all right?
Woo!
If they're
wait, they're gonna burn in the fires of hell like Sodom and Gomorrah? That's fucked up, Taser. Yeah.
All right.
Well, we're not here to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. There was some sodomization. No. Yes, we're finally here to talk about the third character. Daredevil season 1-2. This is the fourth. How would you label this? I don't even know. As you can tell. The third Netflix show, with Luke Cage. This is the one, just to get right to the back, that I really wasn't the sure of the most. Not because I'm racist, because let's be real, I didn't know how they would make a Luke Cage show work, because, or at least
Jones
it would be the most
really
one I was unfamiliar with, versus Iron Fist, Jessica Jones. Well,
oh,
yes, because I've
the
read
she got
the book that she was most famous from, Alias. That's the only thing she's really known for. And New Avengers. Yeah, exactly. So I was more familiar with her and, of course, Luke Cage and her in the New Avengers. But in terms of Luke Cage's solo stuff, I didn't know about him until he was the leader of the Avengers in, like, about 7 years ago. So I really wasn't sure. But going right into this, let's talk about what we liked. Taser, you're the ever-loving cynic. What did you like about Luke Cage?
It was good to see somebody with actual
power. That's a long pause.
In a Netflix show, and granted, we're talking about somebody who had an ability that was easy enough to pull on because it didn't really have an effect. I will say that I still think Terry Crews should have been Luke Cage.
Fuck yeah, Cage!
Crews for Cage!
Cage!
Mike Coulter pulled it off very well. You know, I don't have any real problems with his performance, except for one. At one point, I kind of wanted to turn the TV off. But by and large, Mike Coulter pulled it off, And the bit with him always, you know, just being pissed off because of his clothing, that tickled me to no end. That really tickled me to no end. So I generally enjoyed it. It wasn't perfect, but I generally enjoyed the show.
Okay, cool. I'm going to go next, and the one thing I can easily say that I enjoyed out of everything, and I'm not going to get into what, but it made me enjoy the first half of the show, but what happens to this character. Also, spoilers, I guess.
Yeah, but
although by
been
now,
like, what, 2 months.
Then again, I didn't finish Jessica least? Jones till mid-December last year. So
spoilers,
who fucking knows?
Wow.
2 months. Yeah, it's been almost 2 months. Yeah. Yeah.
Mayor
exactly. But Marshall, how do you say his name? The character actor
which
who played Cottonmouth.
Probably henceforth just referred to him as
Marshall Ali, who played Cottonmouth. Or Cornell Stokes, but Cottonmouth is easier to say. But I thought he was great. Anytime he was on screen, yeah, he was a little bit over the top, but I liked that a little bit. Like, he wasn't trying to be. They weren't trying to replicate the Kingpin seriousness. He was his own character, and he had a presence about him when everybody in the room. And to me, I'm not going to tangent off, but when he dies at the hands of Black Mariah, it was like oh shit, and I was down with it because I thought Black Mariah would be more interesting. But then the rest of the season, it just made me miss Cornell. It just made me miss Cottonmouth because he was such a great, captivating character. Overall, I thought it was good. Like, Michael Coulter pulled off that very much reluctant hero character. This is a guy who wanted to be out of the spotlight, who had some horrible things done to him, who didn't necessarily. He didn't want to be a message. Like, he just wanted to be a guy. Like, he just wanted to live his life. And I thought that was interesting. I'm trying to think. And Shades. I love Shades. Just in the background. I want to cosplay. I just want to walk around in a suit and just Shades.
We're talking Sodom and Gomorrah here, folks, and right now we got Taser on the line. Taser,
hey! Yeah, I'm gonna get right behind him. Anyway, I'll give him a lot of credit because he played that character really, really smooth. And you know, I think he flared up when it was proper for him to do so. But by and large, he handled everything like, yeah, whatever. You know, you can say that. It's all good because I know where I am, I know where I'm going, and I know where you'll end up. You know, I did like his performance as well, you know. Is his real name Cornell? No, isn't it Mish? Yeah, him. Right. From The Wire? Cornell Stokes was The Wire?
Marshally. Cornell Stokes is the character. Cornell Cottonmouth Stokes, yeah. Cornell Stokes is the character's name.
No, Cornell Stokes is the name of Cottonmouth. That's, that's Cottonmouth. And then we get a different snake named character later in the.
Yeah,
which I will talk about in the negative part, but let's not lean into that too much. Unless it's part of your likes.
Definitely, for his performance.
Okay, let's go to Brian. What did you like about?
Of course,
Luke,
Mike
what did
Coulter,
you? What did you like
you know,
about the case?
He's got that whole kind of quiet confidence thing, the way he carries himself. You know, even in situations where you know he could bust some dude's face open, and he's just kind of restraining himself. You know, I enjoyed that sort of where he can portray that guy, where people like say things to him, or he's like trying just to you know do his own thing, and then you have scenes like. When he storms the fucking building and he just rips shit up. And I like to.
I love that. I absolutely loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. I loved it.
I liked the duality he brought to that role, and, like, you know, but, yeah, so Coulter as Cage was pretty good. I still say Cruz for Cage, but, you know, you take what you can get. Let's see. Misty Knight, I enjoyed much more than I thought I would, despite the fact that she was trying to do everything in her power just to fuck with Luke Cage. And then she fucked Luke Cage, but then she fucked Luke Cage. So, but I love Misty Knight. She was a joy to see because, you know, you see characters like Claire Temple, who, Rosario Dawson in this, by the way, very nice. But Misty Knight is a character much like Claire Temple, where it's like, you know, she's exposed to this world of much stranger things, and instead of just kind of leaning into it the way Claire Temple has, where she's just like, yeah, I guess I'll just be a medical professional for superheroes, she is so vehemently against this shit, just unraveling. Like, she is trying so hard to keep Harlem together on her own that it's like, it's incredible to see her try to pull this off, because, you know.
Would you say she wants to make Harlem great again?
I'm not touching that one with a 10-foot pole. Yeah. I'm not touching that one with a 300,000-foot wall along the Mexican border there. No.
Fuck you, Trump. Fuck you. That's all I'll say.
I know.
Trump can come
not.
After.
Mayor Salahali, come 2017,
he ain't gonna do shit. He ain't gonna do shit.
He's got some sex. Legal. He's fine.
That doesn't matter.
Okay, we had politics last. Mayor Salahali as Cottonmouth, I loved him because the actor, I see him in a bunch of stuff.
Continue, Brian. Continue.
He was
sorry.
In the canceled much too soon Alpha series on Sci-Fi that I just fucking loved, and that was
shit. That's right. He was.
Yeah, he was Nathan Clay,
he was.
Man.
Yeah.
He was that jackboot military dude in that one. So he was in that one. He's been in fucking Hunger Games, which I saw. He was in House of Cards. So he has been around, and he's also in that new movie Moonlight.
That's where I know him from. Is from House of Cards, playing Remy, and he's great in there.
Very true, but this one's got black people, so that makes it even more important.
Really? Then how come I've never heard of it?
They say that about every movie, though. So
it's a black indie flick. So
it's a what?
Black indie flick.
That's what I'm saying. That's why that statement is so redundant, because they say it for
indie movies.
Yeah, Dope was in.
Dope had a lot of money, though.
Wait, is it? Dope was indie, wasn't it? Dope was indie.
Well, but Dope was.
It was still indie,
movie.
Though. That, I mean, money, as long as it's independent, you can have
Peter
all the money
Rossi,
in the world.
I love, he's the guy who played Shades. I've seen him in Sons of Anarchy. I love him on Sons of Anarchy. Seeing him here was a delight, because he only ever had, I think, that one really big role before he kind of got, you know, was just stuck in Sons. So seeing him branch out is a little bit better. I like seeing him in other stuff. Rosario Dawson, always a joy. It's never unexpected when she shows up, and she's just awesome. But she really is.
She's the linchpin.
She is, though, in a weird kind
of
way.
She's
and
the Phil Coulson of the
Netflix
universe.
Say nothing about
Netflix
that.
Universe.
How she set up to appear in Iron Fist later on, you know. Which,
I mean, she's
it's because of Luke.
Undoubtedly. It's all because of it's actually all because of Matt, probably. But that's neither here nor there. But I gotta say, probably even more than Misty Knight, the character that I had the most unexpected fun with was Detective Scarf, played by Frank Whaley. I love his character. He's such a loudmouth little shit, right? And you think he's just a worn out beat cop? I gotta admit, when he started strangling that kid, I was legitimately, like, shocked. I was like, oh, shit, I didn't see that coming. And he just strides into Cottonmouth's club, grabbing his crotch, and it's like, holy shit, where was this guy? And you're like, okay. So he, in particular, gets a gold star for me, because that was fucking awesome. My jaw dropped when he started killing that poor bastard.
Yes, killing teenagers. Awesome.
Hey, Brian Powers 2020, everybody.
Yeah, that's the platform
if you
I can get
on
behind. Killing kids.
Why not threats of attempted murder, kids? And God, Alf Woodard as Mariah Dillard. Can enough be said? I'm gonna let Taser take that one actually, because I feel like if anybody, I feel like Taser liked her performance. I think.
I'll give her this. Her snapping when her cousin says, "And you know you liked it when he shows you that attention." No, I didn't. You know that had me go, oh, it's about to go, and then sure enough, wham, 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 wham. I was like, oh shit. She didn't cut, but while that was fun, and I thoroughly enjoyed that because it was such a out of left field a scene. Didn't Alfre Woodard play a character in the Marvel Universe?
Yeah, she was
right.
Yeah,
she was in
right,
Civil War
you know,
II. Not Civil War II. She was in Civil War, where she delivers the letter to Tony Stark. Not the same character. Not the same character.
Back
confirm
to play roles because it's a continuity thing, and this was Netflix and that was the movie. I can only assume that, you know, but. Alfre Woodard played a very good
that's the division between the movies and the
woman who's tried to make a great life for herself despite the past that she came up with, despite the fact that she made great use of that past, and despite the fact that her cousin has been doing a lot of dirty stuff underneath, and you know she's kind of tied with him financially and what have you. She had no problem falling back to it and using those resources when she could, even though she's, like, trying to be above board, you know, still, like, under the table, she's like, yeah, give me, you know. And you know, if somebody needs to get bumped off, yeah, that's not a problem for her either, you know. So it just goes to show that this woman had no – it was nowhere near a straight arrow at all. This chick was decidedly quite nuanced.
Yes, nuanced. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
They're definitely nuanced. But I enjoyed it, and the fact the one thing I didn't like is the fact that she survives. I did not like that.
Well, you knew she was gonna. I mean,
I didn't. Yeah, as a foe,
I would have traded it. I would rather have caught and survived.
I will say that
not,
the narrative that they gave us was really rollercoastered by, you know, killing him and you know some of the other things later, you know, that happened later on, and it was very well done because of that. So you know, regretfully, his death was very good. You know, it just kind of sucks that he didn't survive and she did. But, you know, all's well that ends well. I like the music.
Yeah, soundtrack was dope.
I like the music.
It is what it is. All right, we've said the positives,
nice,
right? Or any more positives?
You know, freaking the Wu-Tang. Freaking Method Man.
Like,
was it episode 11?
Yeah, Method Man.
What I said,
it's like he's trying to speak to me. I know it.
Oh, yeah. I'm not.
He was one of the DJs
Taser,
that played
I'm,
in
I'm sorry. I'm not urban enough to understand what you're saying. I apologize.
Episode 12 he appears in. So
oh, 12?
Of
okay.
Chaos.
And it was an awesome scene. You know,
I don't speak jive.
Walk,
I,
he walks
you keep
into
saying
the
things.
Freaking,
I don't speak jive.
The corner store because he sees something that looks like, yeah, some shit's about to jump off. And, oh, wait a minute. Who does he bump into? Grocery store owner and Method Man, and they're just like, yo, come on, dog. Really? Are you two having this conversation because you recognize who I
was? I like how the robber's like, well, just so you know, man, I'm a big fan from back in the day. And he's like, what the fuck? And then Luke Cage busts him up. And then Method Man's like, oh, shit, it's you. And Luke Cage's like, oh, no, it's you.
You.
It was my shit back in the day. It's like, oh, my God.
Oh, God. That was hilarious.
I did not expect the Method Man, but it was great. And if I did it correctly, you heard Method Man's rap for Luke Cage. But I like that it was... I'll say two more things before we move on to our negative side. I like that it wasn't afraid to be social about, you know, obviously this is a black superhero who cannot be shot, who cannot be killed by conventional bullets. So I like that it wasn't... it wasn't afraid to do a commentary on the whole Black Lives Matter things and stuff like that. Although, fuck any of you websites for saying, is Luke Cage too black? Like, fuck you. Seriously, you're part of the problem. You're part of the problem. You can watch. I can say this right now.
I'm trying to figure out.
You can watch Luke Cage and not be a black person and enjoy it, okay? Like, Jesus Christ. Because it's all black cast and it follows Harlem. That was several articles. Google it. Luke Cage. You'll find articles. I'm sounding like Donald Trump. You'll find articles that will tell you. I can't do a Trump impersonation. I can't remember what the website was. Is Luke Cage too black, or am I too white for Luke Cage? I'm pulling a race card.
If Luke Cage was too black to be enjoyable, then by that same token, almost every TV show that I've watched for the past 45 years has been too white for me to find enjoyable. I mean, seriously, are you fucking kidding me? You know? I mean, the fact that it took place in Harlem, yeah, there's a lot of black people in Harlem, but really, it was just about
yeah,
the location.
It wasn't overflowing
with blackness. It wasn't. You know, most of the characters happened to be black. The setting for it was in a neighborhood that was decidedly black. Not only because you had the Puerto Rican gangster over there, because Spanish Harlem is really close by. You know, speaking as a New York City
historically
resident,
black.
Harlem and Spanish Harlem really close to each other. You know, there isn't a whole lot of Tejanos or anything like that, but still, you know, they're right around each other.
I mean, I figured they would be.
Well, you know, sometimes some of y'all emigrate up in here, and actually.
Well, last time I checked, Texas is nowhere near as good as New York.
Where I live
right
now, where I'm broadcasting right now, there's a whole
That's Puerto
lot of
Ricans.
South
Puerto Ricans go up there. Puerto
fact,
Ricans
the
are not the same as Mexicans.
The fruit stand over which my apartment currently lie has a Mexican name.
Oh.
So, I'm just saying. But no. The idea that show is too black is ridiculous. You know, it just happens to be a majority of black people.
Well, let's move on.
That's it.
Yeah,
It's not filled with a whole
let's
lot
move
of
on.
Lingo you won't get. They don't make a whole lot of references to blackness. No, sorry, it doesn't happen. So if you say something like that, you are the lily whitest of white and, you know, some type of leftist, regressive,
considering
cultural
this shit probably came from Fox News. I mean, are you really surprised?
No, I would say it doesn't have to come from Fox News because there are dumb fucks across the spectrum. No, it's a good thing to bring up.
No, it was just okay. Let's move on. My apologies for bringing it up. It was just meant to be a dumb thing to mention. I didn't expect Taser to go off like that, but it's dumb. Its point is, it's dumb. You're stupid. Let's move on to negativity because that's what we do best.
Agreed.
Yes. Okay. So one, I'm gonna say this. One, the second half of Luke Cage definitely inferior to the first half, namely because at least for me, Diamondback. One, I was expecting a white woman, and I got a black man who had inferiority complex because this is Diamondback's story. Daddy liked you better, so I'm gonna make your life miserable. That's all it fucking was. With Cottonmouth, you understood what he wanted. He was sophisticated. He was cartoony at points, but he was great. He was on point. But at least he was a good, respectable businessman. Versus Diamondback is just a little boy who never got over the fact that his daddy didn't love him enough. That's what it fucking was. And that was just so cheap to give
actually,
him. That's his motivation.
He was more cartoony than I'd say.
And it was, and, he, and even he, the actor yeah, himself, I don't know his name, was just so
Eric
bland
LeRae
and generic.
Harvey
he didn't hold a candle to Mahershala Ali. He didn't.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
More cartoony over. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it was just like.
Oh God, am I
yes,
the old man
I'm,
now?
Eric, I'm sorry, but you were pretty bad in comparison. God, that is a reference some kids aren't gonna understand. But you're getting there. I mean, there's gonna be a point where like shit, you're gonna reference is not gonna make sense anymore. But. It like that's really my biggest criticism is
two
that like I enjoy the second half,
no,
but in comparison to the first half, not
yeah,
nearly as much. Like he was in that acidic bath thing for what 3 episodes? Like that was a little too long. Like to me, well, still
10.
Whatever,
10,
it felt long.
10
it's okay. My thing is that Luke Cage didn't. This show didn't need to be 13 episodes. This show could have been done 6. 7, maybe 8, 10. Okay, I would have said 6 or 7, and I think the reason they're sticking to 13 is because they've done 13 with the with the other shows, and that seems to be the standard Netflix, except for Stranger Things, which is only 8. So it's like it should have been tighter. There was a lot of filler points that I felt that why like it was nice world building, but when I'm like there was no real overarching plot to keep me interested. Like I think for one point I actually fell asleep because I didn't give a fuck. And the only thing that woke me up was when Cottonmouth died because of the glass breaking. That's really my biggest criticism is the fact that Diamondback one wasn't a woman because I kept expecting it to be a woman. Unless is there multiple
she
Diamondbacks?
The first Diamondback.
There's multiple Diamondbacks. Yeah,
I understand.
Okay, because when I think of Diamondback, I think of the one who was infatuated with Captain America. That's the one I was infatuated. Okay, so it's not like I'm saying it's not wrong. It's just like my expectation. That's fine. But even then, he was still a weak villain. Danny didn't love me, so I'm gonna fuck your life up.
Sorry that they tried to
get ready to get bopped.
I also think that Mike
but yeah, that's my criticism. Well, that is my criticism. Taser, critiques.
He's playing for most of the show. That one moment when he gets, you know, when he gets hit with feels and he starts, you know, raising his voice, you know, to show emotion, and I looked at the screen like, oh God, is this where it happens? Is this where he starts acting dramatic? You know, I cringed and I fast forwarded because I couldn't take it. Hearing him speak in such a manner was just off putting. You know, for the most part, his Luke Cage kept his voice calm, spoke low. You know, and you know he was the type that look, I just want to get from point A to point B and back again. I ain't trying to you know get mixed up in some shit. And then shit would happen, and he's you know fine, whatever. All you know. He'd handle business, but I think it was, what was it, episode 8 or some shit? When it was, I believe it was when he went back down to Georgia. Georgia! Georgia! Yeah, that actually, well, they screwed with his entire backstory from what it had been, and while...
That's another thing I didn't like, that they didn't make him a Harlem native, they
I
made him from Georgia.
Originalist. You know, his story had been...
Taser.
Yo.
The term I use is comic book purist when I'm arguing with dumb fucks who say Green Arrow shouldn't be with Black Canary.
Even then, removing him from Harlem is still a little weird.
No, they say the more respectable the original character he should be with because, you know... Fuck me, right? For thinking a comic should resemble a comic
no,
because
he totally
no,
should
but,
be
but
with Nissa Al Ghul. That's why
I can kind of forgive it if they haven't introduced a character. Then, yeah, it's dumb to think that in the cases of romance that this character would be holding out until they introduce the character that you know, and then they get you know romantic. What? That's dumb. So that's why I don't have a problem with him and Claire, and I kind of had a problem, although I got over it when him and Misty did the wild thing. So Luke Cage taps that. Okay. I was disappointed when they relegated Jessica Jones to just being, you know, a rebound. You know, that was like kind of, wow, really? Ah, that kind of sucks. You know? That really, really sucks. Which is understandable considering her issues.
Yeah.
But, you know, they wanted to... I get that they wanted to make him have his own thing, but they just kind of...
Either that or somebody was not communicating.
With that one line, which, and also to explain why he was back up in Harlem. But to get to his backstory, they took the daddy and made it the big issue as to why he was where he was. And not only did they do that, they also completely rewrote his backstory in regards to why he went to jail, okay? Because Carl Lucas was a gang member, okay? Carl Lucas went to jail for some shit that, you know, was trumped up, but he was a gang member. And, you know, stuff happened in jail and blah, blah, blah. He went through the process and it made him steal hard strength, you know, whatever the fuck, and he got out. While he was in jail, his brother had a brother. His brother kept, like, he would write letters back home to talk to him and dad, whatever. His brother kept the letters and told his father that he was dead. Okay, so they took that drama and then said, oh, okay, well, we'll take Diamondback, make him a half-brother, make the father a preacher because Georgia preaches, yes, Lord, and have him be unfaithful. And then let it be one of those little dirty secrets that, you know, a lot of those towns have. And then make Carl completely oblivious to it. Carl goes off to join the military. Carl comes back and he's a police officer. And they never explained how Diamondback was able to frame Carl and get him arrested. They didn't even explain why. Because the last thing we saw was when they were doing the boxing flashback. And, you know, he was talking, and, yeah, he's okay, you got to do this, you got to do that, whatever the fuck. They never really explained why he did it.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been because the father died, and then the mother got ignored, and then she died, and he was left all alone. Well, you would have still had a good relationship with Carl, even if he was oblivious to the fact that you two were related. You know, that's not really a reason why you would screw him over like that. But they didn't address it. They just kind of went, well, you know, this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And then at some point, he ended up in prison all due to my machinations. Which is like, you know, that's like 1 + 2. It doesn't actually equal 3. It equals Z. You know, it is lazy writing. But, you know, because they wanted to have drama, there you go. You know, and I thought that was...
It's lazy writing.
It was awful. I didn't like that at all, you know. And I thought... keeping him around for as long as they did sucked. You know, that last fight up in Harlem, the street fight, I rolled my eyes. No, but it's just, okay.
There was no Hadoukens, there was no Shoryukens, I didn't see a helicopter kick.
You can see that Luke Cage sees worst street fight ever. Man's back, but at no point does he go to grab for it anyway.
No, I agree, so yeah, it was pretty bad.
Right. He pulls the Rocky, he says, I'm going to let you tire yourself out hitting me, and then I win by default. Okay. But even more so than that, it was just like...
He didn't see the QuickTime event pop up. He didn't see the button prompt.
And then when he goes to the he's in the precinct with Claire, and then he gives the speech. And I wanted to shoot myself. I mean, he gave a speech to everybody within earshot, and it was about respect and blah blah blah.
It was about making your dreams come true, Taser. New York City is the place where dreams come true.
That was a truly awful moment. That speech was god awful. God. And another thing, I didn't like that they made Shades just a facilitator. No.
Hey, bringing out the wrestler parlance.
No, hey, I wouldn't say a dubber. He was just a facilitator. Shades was actually a guy who had a gimmick. You know?
A job.
Him and Comanche, which was his partner in prison when they were beating up on Cage, they were guys who were, like, outside of prison. They were, like, street-level enforcers, and they had stuff. You know, they were threatening. You know, Shades actually had goggles that were, like, Cyclops' steel. And Comanche had, like, bows and arrows and other shit like that. So Shade was a character who could give a bit of problem. But here, he's just a facilitator. I just kind of thought, that's a sad downgrade. I mean, I like the fact that the character could handle himself when he was being taken and he's in that elevator scene. I was like, oh, yeah, that's my kick's ass. Woo! But, you know, considering what I knew and what I was given, and it's expected, I suppose, because, you know, it's Netflix and, you know, they have the budget that they have and, you know, working on the scale that they're working. But I was just still really disappointed that that's all he ended up being, just the guy who wore shades.
Yeah, Emancy Gate ain't shit.
You know, when they showed him in the costume, though, with the metal headband and the yellow shirt.
He was cool. That's all you needed.
I giggled like a retard.
There should have been more Shades Halloween costumes and Harley Quinn costumes. That was a travesty. Such an easy...
I will say that to Taser's point, there were moments where I questioned...
I was
going
to get to... yeah.
Street cred, I guess, is the way I would describe it.
All right. Brian, because Taser wanted to be long-winded, what did you not like about Luke Cage?
I actually have not seen Malibu's Most Wanted, so that's going right over my head. There was
would you say he's like the two actors in Malibu's Most Wanted?
And you know, he talks
the two black guys who would get hired to be the gig
and stuff. But then he busts out with
okay, reference clearly dropped. Okay, never mind. Moving on. Continue.
And on the one hand, I'm like, oh shit. On the other hand, I'm like, wait, who did that come from? Because that wasn't the Luke Cage I'm being shown here. This Luke Cage is eloquent and makes speeches and tries to testify, you know, all that stuff. So, Reverend Devon, gone too soon. But yeah, so Coulter definitely had some questionable moments. The emoting thing is definitely cause for an issue.
Issue
was Diamondback. I mean, that's pretty much across the board. What everybody's saying is that, you know, on the one hand, it's good that they didn't go with Cottonmouth in the direction of Kingpin. You know, you were saying earlier, Iggy, how you were glad they didn't cast him in that whole calm, serious kind of plotting demeanor like a Shakespearean guy or anything like that. But then you saw when they took it way too far in the other direction, too, which is, I think, what's getting under a lot of people's skin is that Cottonmouth hit that nice balance where, you know, he's a manipulator, he's a criminal, but he's smooth about it. He's got a little bit of a twist on it where he's got some attitude. He's got some swagger, you know, and he's not too over the top about it, though. Meanwhile, Diamondback is so cartoonishly evil with so petty a cause, it's kind of ridiculous. You're really sitting there and you're like, really? This is really? Really? And it sucks, too, because I want to love that part of the show, because that part was where we got the best Luke Cage, Claire Temple development out of the entire series. It's where most of it happens, and you get a lot of that good character dynamics in there, and you get some of that best development. And not only that, but you get to learn more about the process which gave Luke Cage his powers, and then you obviously see how that gets set up later on. But you get better, maybe not better, you get different character moments that are of a certain quality. You know, like, you get the better Luke Cage Misty interactions earlier on in the season. Same thing with Luke Cage and Pop, who Pop, by the way, was another highlight of the series. I'm sorry I'm retroactively going back there now, but I think we can all agree Pop was pretty cool. I liked Pop.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Apparently, that fucking kid, what was his name? Fucking Zip? The one who shot up that place?
And then tried to brag about it like a dumb shit. You wasn't doing nothing, and I thought stuff had to jump off. I just went.
Yeah, who doesn't love Pop?
Agreed. I want to say this.
Well,
story wise, when
anybody with a fucking brain would love a man like Pop in their lives. He's the dad everybody wants.
Restaurant, you know,
but any more negatives, guys, or are we gonna start wrapping this up?
Mama-san, I don't know. And you know, he hits it with a rocket launcher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh shit! He hit it with a rocket launcher. Woohoo! Okay. So the next episode is them digging them out. Now, Luke Cage had gone through, that was what, episode 3 that they get hit? 4 is when they, is it 4 or 5 when they dig them out?
That's ballpark, yeah, because.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can look it up for sure, but keep going until then.
So. Okay, so so about then, they go through basically a whole episode where he's trying to keep her alive. Everybody's above ground.
I want
to
say it's four.
You know, trying to shoot through the rubble. You know, Cage was in there. All this other stuff. No mention of her husband at all.
Episode four.
Okay, thank you. And when he finally does get to her and he frees them, he stands up, having freed them, and then he walks out and then he gives his name. This was a man who'd done everything up to this point to keep himself out of the papers, out of the public eye, staying on the low key, on the DL.
Yeah, it's the opposite of everything he'd been fighting for up until
exactly.
that point.
Exactly. He basically held up a banner and said, What?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it makes no sense. That action made no sense. But it just led for more dramatic, you know, events later on down the line. So, you know, it helped the story. But it just it threw me off because, you know, when you see a character, you know, behaving a certain way here, why would he even bother telling his landlady to keep quiet and then only to do that? That made no sense. You know, I for the life of me, I still can't figure that shit out. You know, it still baffles me, but you know, there it is. And then afterward, there's no mention of them whatsoever. You know, like, well, wait a minute. Well, okay, true enough. But I mean, where was her husband? It would have been interesting to find out whether he was in the back and
died,
or
it is what it is. What it is. Because
well, we know that she had a husband.
They don't matter.
We know that the husband worked there.
Even though
I just
Mama Foo's lives don't matter.
Don't
there
go
you
around
go.
That way. And they're like,
yeah, you know?
No, because the place is called Mama Foo's. You don't care about husband Foo's. You care about Mama Foo's. That's why. Who gives a fuck?
Ancient Chinese secret.
He uses as a way to escape and probably go to Hawaii and live his life out there. There you go. I just
wait a minute. What would you rate it?
Yes, he's secretly a member of the Hand. All right. No more tangents. I think we're gonna call it right there for the show.
Like
the next time we do one of these,
not a whole lot more, like maybe a 3.0.
Oh, okay. Three out of five.
Really take away and this. The shit that you know I mentioned that they did with the story really fucking annoyed me because it happened for no reason. But yeah, 3.5 out of 5. It can be better, but it was still entertaining enough to watch. I'll say that. Yeah, agreed.
I enjoyed it quite a bit. But, I mean, there is a clear sort of change in tone and quality going on. So
yeah, it was better than Jessica
Jones.
I'll
be generous and give it a 3.5 out of 5 and just kind of
leave
it right now.
B-Rod, give us your final rating.
This was depressing. I got to say it. Him going back in jail and fucking... I was... Oh, my God, no! You know, I didn't like it.
Well, they got like 12 episodes to do it, you know.
Yeah, that made no sense.
I mean,
Why? Like, now they have to waste time to, like, justify him getting out of jail for the Defenders.
See it because,
like,
you know
why
who's
would you
get
do...
Luke Cage out of jail?
I don't give a fuck. That's dumb for him to go back to jail. That's dumb. It's just another example of the American penitentiary system putting an innocent black man behind jail.
How?
He has no jurisdiction in Georgia. He has no... What, is he going
to...
He's going to go to Georgia?
Foggy does all of his partnership.
Okay.
So I'm all for Matt Murdock taking a trip down to Georgia. And then
go, fuck, buddy. Fuck, buddy.
They have peaches. But you ain't never had a Georgia peach. Oh, yeah. They
all
come
right.
from Georgia.
I've never been to Georgia, and I don't ever want to go to Georgia. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. I can peaches here. They're probably from Georgia.
Holy
they come
shit.
From Georgia, because I know sure as hell Texas doesn't grow peaches. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode, this special edition for Luke Cage. Next time we do one of these Netflix shows, it'll be Iron Fist in the spring of 2017. And I hope to God it'll be... It was not that far. I was like 4 months away now. I hope to God it won't be as long awaited as with this one. So hopefully not. And then after that, I think in the same year, next year, we get both Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and the Defenders. I think they both come out in 2017, which is a lot sooner than I thought it would happen. But who knows?
we don't remember shit afterward. I know I don't.
So we might have three. I don't fucking know. I don't pay attention to the schedule.
There's black men in our house.
Yeah, I will. No, because we report the news. We don't research it. Pretty much. Who are you again? Why am I here? What's going on? All right. In this, depending on how I'm feeling, may or may not be shorter than normal. But hey, you at least get an hour and a half, or an hour, or maybe 2 hours worth of content from us this week. Think of it as a makeup. For lack of shows. So next week...
See, what you say is true. The Shaolin and the Wu-Tang could be dangerous. Do you think your Wu-Tang sword can defeat me?
On guard. I'll let you try my Wu-Tang style.
Bring the motherfucking ruckus! Bring the motherfucking ruckus! Bring the motherfucking ruckus! Bring the motherfucking ruckus!
Ghost face, catch the blast of a hype verse. My clock burst, leaving a hearse. I did worse, I come rough, tough like an elephant tusk. Your head rush, fly like Egyptian musk. Aw, shit, Wu-Tang Clan spark the Wixen. However, I mastered a trick just like Nixon. Causing terror, quick damage, your whole era. Hard rocks is locked the fuck up, I found shot. Yellow style, hazardous, cause I wrecked this dangerous. I blow spots like Waco, Texas.
I watch my back like I'm locked down. Hardcore hitting sound, watch me act bulk and tear down. A literate tight asshole, songs going gold, no doubt. And you watch your corny nigga fall. Yeah, they faking all that. Carrying gats, but your mind plan rolling like 40 max. Now you act convinced, I guess it makes sense. Wu-Tang, yo, represent. I wait for one to act up. Now I got him backed up. Gun to his neck now, react what? And that's one in the chamber. Wu-Tang banger, 36 styles of danger.
Bring the motherfucking ruckus. 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 Bring the motherfucking ruckus.
I whip it. Like porno flick bitches. I roll with groups of ghetto bastards with biscuits. Check it, my method on the microphone's banging. Wu-Tang slang, I leave your head peace.